And so Jeremiah 29:11 starts out with this. I'm just going to read it. We're going to go to Ephesians 3 in a minute. If, Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not evil, but to give you an expected end." So in other words, God has purposes and plans for us. Every purpose and every plan has the ability of God on it. What is the ability of God? We call that grace. Everyone say grace. Grace is God's ability on our behalf. God's ability on our behalf. Now let me give you the Greek definition. We're going to break this word down. The word grace, it means that which affords joy. Now as we continue on this definition, you're going to find that this is real greasy, how God did this. Because, you know, our series is called God's Abundant Overflowing Grace. God's Abundant Overflowing Grace. That sounds like a lot of stuff. That sounds like a lot of grace. Not just grace, but abounding grace and overflowing grace. As a matter of fact, when we complete this study, I believe two things that are going to happen to each and every one of us. Number one, we're going to find out and discover or uncover what we are graced to do, number one. And I believe the second thing that we're going to uncover or discover is that God has placed a grace on our lives so we don't have to consider our past, so that we don't ever have to consider us anymore. You see, one of our problems in our society is we think about us too much. The word self-esteem is not a Bible word. And the reason why I mention that is because God wants us to have God-esteem. You see, my identity has nothing to do with my past. My identity is who Jesus says that I am. And if I look back at my past, I will find an insecure, stuttering, fearful little boy who was an introvert, who had zero personality, who lied because my life was so, it just wasn't very spectacular. So I had to make up stories about how great my life was and how great I am. And all that, when I look back at my past, I realize, wow, how on earth can God have used me? Well, it's grace. It's grace. It is a very special covering. Matter of fact, a good picture of grace. Because see, in our society, we've had a very strong religious society for so long. And that's why I believe that God has given a greater revelation of grace to people in our day so that we can tear down some of this legalistic mess that we have been founded on for so long. And because we have been so legalistic, that's the society I was raised in. You know, I've heard people mention there's two prominent ministers with huge ministries today that really speak about grace quite a bit. And the Lord impressed this on me. I inquired. I asked. God, what everyone always dogs these preachers because they talk about grace all the time. And I don't have a problem with it because everything they said is so 100% scriptural. They have scriptural. They're using the Bible. It's not being twisted. The Bible interprets the Bible. And the Lord impressed on my heart that this, they were raised up because religion has taken over in a legalistic way, and God had to do something, bring someone with influence and with voice and with reach to bring back God's heart of grace, of you not being able to do anything for yourself. All we can do is just go ahead and rest on what God did and accept what He did. Now watch this. Grace always refers to something that's already been done. Grace refers to God doing something on our behalf and then us receiving by faith what He already did. Does that make sense? A good understanding of that, and we'll this second part we'll talk about later. But if you look back in the Garden of Eden, you can find all kind of information about how we should be living by looking at the Garden of Eden. When Adam and Eve sinned, the very first thing that God was trying to do is figure out how to get connected back to Adam and Eve. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All right, we know that scripture, okay? Okay, well, what happened was that sin made that separation. And so God wasn't proud of that sin like religion acts like. Oh, oh, God cannot. He's not going to look at your sin. He's not going to turn to your sin. He's not look at you. And they make it sound like God's arrogant towards sin. No, God is not arrogant towards sin. God just can't look at sin. So because of God's great love toward us, He had to figure out something to do on our behalf to reconnect us to Him. But here's the thing. He doesn't care what it looks like to everybody else. But it seems like religion doesn't like the way God cheats Himself to get to us. I'm going to say it like this. A lot of people, they think, well, you know, I don't think you know, grace is that easy because, I mean, after all, if grace is easy, then Jesus dying on the cross was just kind of in vain. And they'll make crazy stuff like that, but you have to realize God desperately wanted to reconnect with us. Okay, so I believe it's in Psalms chapter 8 where it's prophesying. David's prophesying what happened in heaven when God created Adam and Eve. Okay, and these are angels talking, and the angels are saying, what is man that God is mindful of him? What is man that God considers him? He's made man a little lower than Elohim, not angels. King James says angels. King James was wrong. You got to remember, King James was influenced by John Calvin. And John Calvin is probably one of the greatest paralysis that the kingdom of God has ever experienced. All right, so here we go. So here we have, one of the things. We got Jesus, or God, he's doting over man. Doting over you and I. Doting. I can't wait to get down there. In Genesis chapter 3, it says that God walked in the cool of the day in the garden. So in other words, that's a normal thing. God went down there. Angels have never seen God going down to earth, hanging out with some created being before. But God was desiring to pour out His love on you and I in such a great way that even though we sinned, He's trying to figure out, how do I get them back again? And so we tried to get back to God by putting leaves over our nakedness. But that wasn't good enough. There's nothing you and I can do but believe and receive. There's nothing you and I could do in the place of salvation but to believe what He did and to receive what He did. That's all we did. Matter of fact, it goes all the way back to Abraham where the Bible tells us that Abraham believed God. That's what Abraham did. And God accounted it to him. Or he reckoned his account over. Well, let me reckon your... Oh, you know what? You're in debt, but you believe God, so we call it done. We're just good enough. You see, that's how God operates. God is not a works God. He is a faith God. And so what did God do? He had to do something to start getting His most beloved thing ever, the most cherished possession that God ever had, other than the first begotten, was you and I. And so God Himself had to make the covering. You see, God is always trying to get you and I back to Him. You say, is God trying to get us to stop sinning? God is trying to get us in relationship to Him, because your relationship to Him will cause us to stop sinning. That's why when people say, oh, you're just saying grace is your license to sin. If you really had a relationship with God, with Jesus, with the Spirit of God, you would recognize that grace is your covering so that you can get closer to Jesus. How does the Bible say why does the Bible say we can enter into the throne room of God boldly? Because of the blood of Jesus. So Jesus came so that we can have the gift of grace so we can enter in boldly to the throne room and ask God and converse with God. And so anyone that says that, oh, you're using grace as a license to sin, I hate to tell you this. I do know they probably are saved, but they don't have a fellowship with God. Big difference. Big difference between being saved and having fellowship with God. I mentioned this before. Easiest thing I think of, I didn't talk to my parents this week, but I am still in relationship with them. Have you talked to the Spirit of God this week? I mean, you're still in relationship, but are we in fellowship? Now, I'm going to call my parents this week because when I leave town, I'm not going to call them. but you know, when I go overseas. But at the same time, I'm in relationship, just hadn't had fellowship in a long time. Does that make sense? All right, let's turn to Ephesians chapter 3 this morning. I want to just kind of springboard with this right here, and then we're going to continue. Now, I mentioned the word grace, that which affords joy. The word grace, the Greek word is charis. It means pleasure. It means delight. The word grace means charm, loveliness, grace of speech. Do you know grace is how God talks to you and I? You know grace is how He would communicate to you and I? So when people start acting like, well, you know, God's going to get you and God's going to... Listen, God speaks graciously. God speaks, it's the goodness of God that leads men to what? Repentance. Do you think it's, get saved, boy? No, that's not it. That's our flesh. That's religion. I saw a clip. I've got a pastor friend I'm on Facebook friends with. You know, I've never met him before. We're in this ministry group thingy on Facebook, and he put a clip that he was real proud of. And in the clip, he stood there and he said, "If you're in sin, just stop it. Just quit it. Just stop sinning." And my first thought was, man, that guy has no clue. He got two churches. He got two big churches. And I'm thinking, he really is standing there just saying that. No, I agree we need to stop, but telling someone to stop sinning is not going to help them to not sin. When you start getting someone, helping them make tracks closer to their fellowship with God, they're not going to want to sin. And the want to goes away. And when you realize that, oh my gosh, you did all this for me, Jesus? When you realize that, you're going to want to change. Does that make sense? That's why I don't go around and start listing all the list of, well, this is sin, and that's a sin, and this is sin, and that's sin, and we should all stop doing that right now. We don't do that. You know why? Because what we are doing, what a gospel minister is supposed to do, is tell the good news. Not tell all the bad news. Well, but isn't hell part of the good news? Listen, hell is the place created for Satan and his minions. And if we all know that we get to choose where we go. But here is the thing. When we talk about the good news of what Jesus did, there's good news that Jesus came to take away sin so that we can be in fellowship with God. Man, the greatest benefit to Christianity is communion with the Creator of the universe. I mean, I can tell you right now, I do not think about heaven every single day. As a matter of fact, I can't tell you that I think about going to heaven every single week. Now, I'm pretty sure that comes across, you know, at least in a month's period of time. But what I do think about is my walk with God, my daily walk with God. And I judge my life based on my daily walk with the Lord. So what does grace do? Grace gives me the ability to recognize, wow, He gave me benefits. One of the words for grace is benefits. Goodwill. You see, God wants to do goodwill toward you. The word grace means loving kindness, favor. You know, God wants to favor you. But if you and I are always uptight about, well, I failed this and I failed that. Now listen, I'll be real honest with you. We should strive to be better individuals, okay? But you have to make sure it's kingdom individuals God wants us to be. And so, you know, the world has its idea of what good is. See, that's one of the reasons why God didn't want us eating that tree also. He wanted Him to tell us what's right and wrong. Not society or the world tell us what's right or wrong. But God, He won't tell us, when Valerie said that this morning, the first thing I thought of is when it was summer before last, we started teaching the kids about the birds and the bees. And so I had this, it was like a hard conversation, man. It was just, but you know, I'm learning to be bold. I'm learning to step out and talk about topics I'd rather not talk about and do things I'd rather not do. I'm not one of these walk up to every stranger and have a party with them. You know what I'm saying? However, now that's way not my personality, but you know what? I have to do that here lately. Matter of fact, we had a ball at the fire station across the street on Thursday night. Man, we got to meet and visit with I don't know how many hundreds of people that came through the fire station. We passed out church cards, gave them candy, gave them church pens and kids' own bracelets. We had a ball. And I'm not real chatty. Jackie, when I'm at home, am I pretty docile? Kind of, you know, unless the kids are okay. Jackie's been in my house, and I'm not all that bold all the time. However, I'm graced to do certain things, and I will step out of my personality to get the job done. And so I had a blast talking to folk and meeting some of the city officials because God has graced me to do that. And so back to this right here, favor. God's given us favor. It means influence. It means grace. Listen, grace is knowledge. Grace is not. One of the definitions in the Greek for charis is knowledge. God will give you supernatural knowledge in the area that you and I are called to operate in, to function in. You say, well, I don't know how I'm going to do this. Listen, I don't know what this the lady, what she knew or didn't know God's called her to function in this testimony, Valerie. But evidently, she must have knew, God must have dropped some, downloaded some stuff on the inside of her because now she's not a realtor under another broker. She's got her own, her name is on the wall. When your name is on the wall, and just a little while ago it wasn't on the wall, evidently there is something that God downloaded on your behalf. Are you seeing that? That's grace. The word grace means affection. Affection. God desperately wants to show us affection. Here's the problem. When we start thinking about how we feel, we are missing the privilege of thinking how God feels. And when you realize how God feels toward you and I, you'll realize He wants to get things to you. He wants to do things for you. You know, honestly, on a daily basis, I hear from ministers who are quitting the ministry. Every Monday morning, I see something that comes across my feed on Facebook of a minister that is depressed. One guy just this past week, or yeah, last week, I guess, made mention that he didn't know how long he can go on. Depression has hit, and he's burnout and all that. You know, burnout comes when you do things in your own energy. When you do things in your own energy, that's where burnout comes. But God has ability for you and I. For you and I. All right, let's read this right here, and we're going to wrap this up here. Ephesians chapter 3, and we're going to start, let's see, we'll start at verse, we'll start at 7 or 8. To me, we'll start with verse 1. For this reason, verse 1. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if indeed you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which was given to me for you. Okay, so in other words, there was a grace given to Paul on the behalf of somebody else. You know, God will give you a grace to serve Him. And when you recognize your service to God and what that grace is, it's going to be effortless. Now, you still have to step out because, again, it still goes against your feelings. It still goes against your natural personalities. Okay, you know, your personality is shaped from your upbringing. You know, I came from a divorced family. My parents are immigrants from a different country. So, you know, there's a lot of things that were foreign as far as culture goes. And so, you know, I grew up, it was a little mixed up, a little strange, a little different. But then when they got divorced, I was hurt. I was about 10 years old. And so all that hurt changes your personality. It messes with your self-esteem. It messes with your security level and how you think and how you feel. And so I started acting out my personality. Does that make sense? Well, the divorce wasn't God's fault. Therefore, my personality change was not the will of God. And so with that, any loss or grief or pain that happens in my life that changes my personality does not change the call of God that was given to me when I was born. I recognized when I was 13 years old that I was called to ministry. Now, believe it or not, I was called to traveling ministry before I was called to pastoral ministry. So the grace to travel has always been there since the time I was little. Since I was 13 is when I recognized that. As a matter of fact, there was the city of Lufkin, Texas. I preached 5 years in a row over there. Actually, when I first started the church, that's when that door opened up. The very same week I started the church, the very same week God opened that door. It was kind of neat, pastoring and traveling all hit at the same time. But God opened that door through an autistic guy that lives in the city of the outskirts of Lufkin, Texas. And I preached for an autistic pastor in a weird town that had the smell of decrepit flesh on the back porch of this house. And you know what? God did mighty things. We watched, because of that, a door opened up to preach at another man's church for 5 years. We watched a lady that had a stroke, had paralysis in her left side for 10 years, begin to walk better, and her arm was able to be held up by her own strength for the first time in 10 years. Now, all that because years ago, God put Lufkin, Texas in my heart. But there's no way I would have went out there. Heck, Lufkin is not real far from Broadus, Texas. Y'all know, you ever heard of Broadus, Texas? Broadus, Texas is where the brown guy was chained to the bumper of a redneck pickup and was drugged to death, and there wasn't much left of that brown guy. And so again, do you think I could have problems with my color going to Lufkin, Texas? Well, no, I can't be doing that. What's just south of Broadus? Well, maybe an hour and a half, 2 hours, is Vidor, Texas. Now, if you don't know Vidor, Texas, I ain't going to tell you. But what I'm saying is God never changed my calling from the time I was 13 years old. And all of a sudden, when I finally said yes, because here's what happened. I'm at a pastor's conference the Saturday before the first service. And in this pastor's meeting, there's a guy who I've known for a couple years who's autistic. He walks in. My first thought was, oh, what are you doing in here? This is a pastor's luncheon. And he goes, well, I'm a bad pastor. I'm pastoring. I just started a church in my house. And I'm just like, oh, Lord, get me out of here. But he said, well, Munu, I need you to come preach revival for me. I said, okay, all right, that's fine, I'll do it. As I walked away, the Spirit of God checked me and impressed in my heart, you need to go help that boy out. And so I'm like, oh. So I went over there. See, I had to make a choice. Am I going to do something that goes against my class? Y'all know me, I ain't Mr. Class, so you know what I'm saying? That's like stupid of me to think that. And so to go against my personality that may make me look bad, well, whatever it makes me look or not, if God says to do it, then I need to do it. So I had to get past myself. I had to go. Everyone say go. The word go in the Greek means to get past self. All right, so I had to get past my personality and go over there and do it. So I gave him, I think I had a card. I gave him a card or I gave him a number. And I said, just call me and we'll go ahead and get some dates. Monday morning. The day after our first service, he called me, and we had dates set up, and God used that to fulfill a call that I was called to before or during the time my personality was being destroyed. Are you seeing? The gifts and the callings of God are irrevocable no matter what you have gone through in your life, and it's the grace of God that will open that door that you and I assume it's closed because we are just a messed up individual. But I got good news for you today. Grace, the gift of grace. Matter of fact, the Bible says God gives us grace in proportion to our faith. And so you and I, can you believe that you are redeemed? Can you believe that you are blessed? Can you believe? Because that's what we have to begin to do is believe that we are pure before God. We have to, if you look at the woman with the issue of blood, God had to have grace on her. You know why? She was breaking the law being around people. When women had their issues, that just sounds funny. Y'all got your issues. All right, you know, the issues of blood. Whenever they had their cycle, they could not be around people. They had to stay away during that time. And this woman, she knew she's going to get in trouble. Matter of fact, that's why when she touched him and he recognized it, she thought being a holy man, because all the holy men are always sticklers for the law. But when she touched him and he said, if something happened, the virtue has gone out of me, it has left me. See, she pulled the trigger of what was already there, and what was there exploded in her behalf. And so she turned around, he turned around, and she, I'm sorry, I had this issue of blood, and many doctors, and they did stuff, and they didn't do anything, but it made it worse, and I just knew if I could just touch the hem of your garments, and Jesus, he graced her, because God wants to grace you, because you can't do things yourself. And if you and I are doing things by our flesh, and doing things out of our own will, and our own flesh, you're missing the ability that's given to you. You're missing the grace that God has for you to do things a little bit more effortless, to do things easier, faster. You see, we are in the last days. And if we don't recognize our calling, we are going to miss it. And there's lots and lots of great callings. You know, I've heard this before. I think it was Brother Keith Moore told the story about how he met a guy, went through Rhema. He had been a Methodist pastor for X amount of years, retired. And as an older guy, gets saved and goes to Rhema. You think, what do you mean get saved? You said get saved after he pastored. Yes. Yes, he got saved after he pastored for X amount of years, and he's an older guy, and I think it's 20 years or 20-something years, gets saved, goes to Rhema, and then goes back into ministry because he had a good idea on the inside. He was called to the ministry, but he missed some steps. He missed some steps. What I'm saying today is you have desires. Have we chosen the right steps, or are we choosing other steps? You know, the Welch's Company, and I'll give you this, and we'll dismiss. The Welch's grape juice. You know Welch's grape juice. They started out as a company back in the 1800s distributing non-alcoholic communion wine. Well, before they started doing that, the Welch's family, the husband and wife, they had a call to God in their life. They knew they had a call of God, and they thought, well, if you're called by God, I guess you got to go to the mission field. Rather a pastor or a mission field. They must have had a good church, I guess. So they realized, oh, no, it's you know, we're good. It's not pastoring. So they just decide, well, anything you can do great for God has got to be involved in ministry. So that's a misconception that people think. Now, it's always connected to the local house. It's always, there's got to be a connection to the, because what is Jesus thinking about all the time? The kingdom. What is the first place of the kingdom? The local house, the local body of Christ. And so Jesus is always thinking about his body. You recognize that? Jesus is always thinking about his body. And so anyway, so they go off to the mission field. The wife winds up getting sick, and they had to come back to the United States. So they came back, and that's when they got involved in the family business of non-alcoholic communion wine. And then they realized, wait a minute, there's something greater than what we thought was great. And that is being a blessing to the body of Christ wherever you are. And of course, God began blessing them. They started not only making the communion wine, but they started drinking the grape juice. And of course, now we know Welch's grape as that's my jelly. That's Welch's Concord grape. That's a jelly. We are a family that has can't agree on that. So she's got her Smuckers or whatever that is, and I got mine. But what I'm saying is this: is when you start recognizing what you're graced to do, it gives your life purpose. It gives your life purpose. And when you find your purpose, not only will your life go to a new level, but your health will and your finances will. Why do I say that? Because seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Amen.